375.
No shadow yonder or beyond the sunset bar. No shadow yonder or beyond the star. Days are hurled and breathing, ages fly like dreaming.
Number 69.
In the rented rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There no foes nor some molesting, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me.
Then
wish to. Let's stand together and sing number 86. Number 86.
I love to steal a while away from every cumbering care and spend the hours of setting day in on the grave of prayer. I love it solitude to shed the penitential tear and love it from the dead to be where none but God can hear. I love to think of mercy's past and future
I love to steal a while away from every cumbering care and spend the hours of setting day in humble, grateful prayer. How blessed we are to be able to come together this day and worship our God in spirit and in truth and praise our Savior. And I believe He's looking upon us right now, and I trust that His countenance will shine upon us. So we've come together in this service to render unto Him all that is due unto His name that we possibly can as poor mortals, but as saints of God, I believe that our praise is acceptable in His sight, and that I believe that God rejoices over His people, as the Scriptures teach us that He rejoices over Zion. When Zion comes together and God's people are together in mind and soul and bound together in the bonds of love, I believe that our Savior rejoices over us as we rejoice over Him and rejoice in His blessed gospel, which has cheered our hearts along the journey of life and given us the strength that we need to press on in this old world that is filled with disappointment, heartache, and much on every side of us that we would give up if it were not for the blessed Spirit of God to give us the courage to press on and fortitude to be strong. So we thank the Lord that He's given us this day, and we thank God for everyone that has come to be with us this morning. And I hope and pray that the Lord will bless us, bless me to preach to you in the power of His Spirit. I enjoyed services yesterday at the Blue Ridge Primitive Baptist Church, just right off the Blue Ridge Parkway, just a little past Mabry's Mill. It was a wonderful meeting. It was a meeting of all the independent churches that met at Blue Ridge Church in that area. And the church was filled, and there was about 10 preachers there. It's morning shoot, you know, a lot of preachers there, and just had a real sweet, good, spirit-filled meeting. And it was good to see many of my friends in Christ. there at that meeting. I want to remember some in prayer. Sister Shirley's sister is not doing well in Lynchburg Hospital. She has some lung problem, and we want to fervently remember her in prayer and ask the Lord to lay his hand upon her, recover strength if it be his will. Also, I have a card here from Sister Gladys Dennison. She says, "Dear brothers and sisters, thank you for the cards and prayers and during my illness." So we're glad Sister Gladys is with us today. She's doing better, and we're thankful for that. While I have it on my mind, the Lord willing, and before the fifth weekend in August, Elder Sam Bryant will be here at Afton Road Church Friday night and Saturday afternoon. That's before the fifth Sunday in August. So we're looking forward to Brother Sam being with us. And it's always a great anticipation for him coming and to preach to us. And we feel the Lord has blessed his ministry there at Shalot for the short time that he's been there. I think that they've had about 10 or 12 to join the church, and seems that everything is going real well. So as we look to the Lord in prayer, if you'll bow with me and join with me at the throne of grace, I'll try to word our prayer, and I hope that all of you will be in fervent prayer as I lead you. And you know, there's no greater blessing for us as we travel here in this world than to talk to God and speak to our Savior and communicate with him and pour out our heart before him and tell him of our needs, even though he knows all of our needs. But it says, make your requests known before God. Somebody might ask the question, well, why make your requests known when he already knows? Well, God desires to hear the prayers of his people, and he delights to answer our prayers according to his good will. And we're leaning upon the wisdom and the grace of God every time we pray. Every time we pray, we're not praying that God would answer our whims, but do that which is good that we need in our lives, because he knows best. So let us look to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, our Father, Lord Jesus, our King, our blessed Redeemer and great High Priest, Eternal Spirit, our Light Giver, our Comforter, our Guide, and our Aid as we travel here upon this earth, we thank thee, O God of truth, that thou hast blessed us with all spiritual blessings, that thou hast dispensed thy blessings upon us, that thou hast given us the hope of eternal life. We thank thee that we have the wonderful word and the glorious gospel to comfort us, to strengthen our minds, to revive us, and to guide us in this weary world in which we live. We thank thee for thy church and kingdom, which is an oasis in the desert for thy people to drink and to find a shady place from the heat of this world. As we hide under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty, thank thee, O God, that thou hast led our feet and our hearts to this place. Thank thee for Afton Road Church and what she means to us and to this community. We thank thee for each member that makes up her body, and for her light that shines. And we ask, O Father, that we would be better servants, and that thy people on the outside of the church could be stirred up in their hearts, hear the gospel, and be compelled to take up their cross and follow thee. God, we know that thou must open the door of opportunity, but help us to take advantage of that opportunity as thou dost give it to us. May the church be in fervent prayer that the gospel would have free course and be glorified, even as it is with us.
O God in heaven, we thank thee for all thy churches across this land and for the ministering servants that stand strong and preach the gospel. And we pray that there would be an awakening of our day, that thy people would turn to thee, call upon thy name, humbly seek thy face, where that we shall be healed. That's a promise from thee if thy people do that which thou hast commanded. Heavenly Father, we pray for the sick and the needy. We pray for those that are heavy-hearted, broken in spirit, troubled in mind. But as they look to thee, thou hast promised to give what we need. And Lord, today, we are dependent upon thee, the independent God, the sovereign of heaven and earth, the great I am. May the gospel be blessed today in the hearts of thy people. And Father, I ask thee to bless this unworthy servant that comes before this congregation to deliver the word, to preach Christ and him crucified. And may thy Holy Spirit warm every heart, stir us up to be better soldiers of the cross and to be more valiant in our good fight of faith until we leave this world. We look beyond the horizon to a better country, a city that hath foundations whose builder and maker is by thy own hand. O God in heaven, a city of light where many souls now dwell around the throne of Jesus Christ. We shall join them one day. That's a certainty of thy wonderful salvation toward thy people. That we shall, when Jesus comes again, awaken thy likeness and be satisfied. Father in heaven, we pray this prayer only in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.
Have on my mind this morning a prayer. I would call it the prayers of all prayers, because the Lord Jesus prayed this prayer. In the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John, before that our Lord enters into the Garden of Gethsemane, and before he is crucified, he prays this prayer unto his Father and our Father. This is a prayer that covers eternity past and in between to eternity future. It's a lot included and embraced in this prayer. But it is a powerful prayer. And I believe that we are embraced in this prayer. In verse 12 of chapter 17, I'll start reading. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus begins this prayer, and he says, Father, the hour has come. This is the hour of all hours. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Embraced in this is the eternal purpose of God concerning the eternal salvation of God's people. For he said, glorify thou me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Now there was a glory that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had with the Father before the world was. And I believe that the splendor of that glory, as he was with the Father, all the angels that were created, as we read in the book of Revelation, that there are thousands times 10,000s and thousands of angels in glory. And what are they doing? They are attributing praise to the Lamb of God, to the Son of God, and to the Father. And I believe that before the world was, the delight of the Father and the Son cannot be explained by human words, because he is the delight of the Father. He is the express image of the Father. He is his glory. He is the brightness, the effulgence of God. For he is God. He is the second character in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says that I want the glory that I had with thee before the world was. And I believe that he received that glory when he entered back into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe he received a glory that he had with the Father before the world was. I believe that he received glory in that he was crowned with glory and honor. He was crowned because he had finished that which God had sent him into this world to do, and that he had completed his mission here in this world, and that's why he could sit at the right hand of the throne of God. That's why he sat down, because he was finished. As far as his work of redemption was concerned, it was finished upon the cross. When Jesus said, it is finished upon the cross, what was he talking about? He was saying that redemption is finished, eternal redemption has been obtained, and therefore my people have been set free because I paid the price. He says here, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. I believe that Jesus was glorified even in his shameful death upon the cross. I believe that he glorified the Father, and the Father glorified him. Why? Because he was doing that work that God gave him to do in the covenant even before the world began. And he was
given the authority over all flesh. There is no flesh outside the authority of the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no king nor monarch or prince or dictator, I don't care who he is and how powerful he may think he is, there's one that is over all human beings and has power or authority over all flesh, and that all flesh answers to, because he is the only potentate. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He has power over all flesh, over all human beings. There's no human being that he does not have power over, that he cannot control. For the king's heart is in his hand, and he turneth it whithersoever he will, as he turns the rivers of waters. If it's God's will, he can put down a monarch, he can raise up one, because he's over them all. I recall that there was a king, one of the greatest kingdoms in the ancient world, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, you remember. He boasted within himself, and he dreamed a dream, and Daniel interpreted that dream unto him that his kingdom would be rent from him, and therefore he would be put down from his kingship. And when he looked out over his kingdom and he said in his pride that I have built this kingdom, look what I have done. You know what? When those words came out of his mouth, God drove him from his kingdom. And he was made to eat grass like a cow. You can just imagine Nebuchadnezzar out in a field eating grass like a cow, like the ox. And his hair grew out real long, and his nails like bird's claws. He was insane. He had no mind. God took it away from him, took his mind away from him. In 7 years, God passed over him. Can't you imagine how he smelt out there in the field? Eating grass like the ox and out in the weather? But this proves that God has authority or power over all flesh. He's a prime example. And then God gave his mind back to him. He had a whole lot better mind after this experience than before. Because before he said, look what I've done. And afterward he said, look what God has done. Afterward he says, the inhabitants of their earth are reputed as nothing in thy sight. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or saith unto him, what doest thou? So he had his right mind. He had a real good mind after that, because he was extolling the Most High. In fact, why, he extolled God, the Most High God. He says he doeth his will. No old Baptist preachers ever said it any better than Nebuchadnezzar did. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Can any man stay his hand? Can any man hinder him? Can any man thwart his purpose in that which God has purposed to do for his people, which he has determined and predetermined to do for his people? Can any man hinder God? Can any man frustrate God? Can any man overthrow God? No, God is over all flesh. And then the wonderful truth in this last phrase, that he should give eternal life. That he should give eternal life to who? To all that will believe, repent, and accept? No, didn't say anything about that. He should give eternal life to as many. How many? To as many as thou hast given him. Eternal election is set forth in the prayer of the Lord Jesus. To as many as thou hast given him, that he should give eternal life to as many. How many will he give eternal life to? How many is in his hand? How many will he convey that life to somewhere between conception and death before his people leave this world? He will give eternal life to everyone that God the Father gave unto him in the covenant before the world began. Every one of them will be given eternal life by Jesus himself. By the Spirit of God,
He will impart eternal life to every one of them without the assistance of a preacher, without a soul winner, without a church, without human agency, without angels, without any help, without any assistance. God will see to it because he's given the authority to Jesus Christ, and Jesus has the authority to give eternal life to everyone that God the Father gave unto him before the world began. He will give eternal life somewhere at the designated time that he predetermined before the world began. He will give them all eternal life. Somebody says, now preacher, you're getting in deep water, but there is a specific time that God determined to give every one of us eternal life, that we would be born of his Spirit even before the world began.